Well, happy Sabbath to you. This has been a labor of love that's going to happen after this brief sermonette I'm going to give to you. And, you know, sometimes I'm wondering if I was not like Jonah. We tried and tried to get a youth speaker, and God seemed to have closed the doors. And I thought I had the ram in the bush on Sunday when we went to the picnic with Pastor Willis from New Life. But then he was doing it at his church today. So I said, okay, Lord, what are we going to do here? And I read through the skit, and the theme came up, and Alice, I apologize for not giving you the scripture. The theme came up, forgiven. And that sort of ties in about what the skit is going to be about. So, as I said, it's going to be a sermonette. But Pastor, I can empathize with you now when it comes to doing a sermon, because sometimes you get that theme there and you think you're going there, and it's just so much involved as far as doing it. But since it's not in there, the scripture text for forgiven is going to be taken from Luke, the 7th chapter, the 36th through the 50th verse. Forgiven. What is that word? What does it mean, forgiven? When you hear that word, forgiven, it's a gift. It means to grant relief, a pardon for payment or penalty that's due. It means to, if you're given, you're unburdened. And forgiven means it has already happened. Amen. So the message today is going to be taken from Luke, the 7th chapter, the 36th through the 50th verses, entitled, The Sinful Woman Forgiven. But before we go there, let's look at the events that have led up to the interaction between Jesus and Simon the Pharisee, and Jesus and this sinful woman. If you'll notice, a lot of times in the Bible, when there is a woman involved, usually their names are not really given. It's usually a description of them or the place where they live. Well, Dr. Luke gives us a powerful view of Jesus' ministry through the deeds he performed before getting to Luke, the 7th chapter in the 36th verse. And I wanted to recap briefly for you some of them in Luke chapter 6 through 7 and verse 35. Now, chapter 6 begins with Jesus settling this question about the Sabbath. He states that the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Next, Jesus selects his inner circle. Now, Jesus had many disciples, but now he chooses 12 to be his apostles, his right-hand men, in other words. This act of selection was done after Jesus had spent all night in prayer with his Father. So that goes to tell us when we need to make a decision, when we need to choose someone, we need to take it to the Father. Then Luke tells us about the great multitudes who sought Jesus out because they wanted to be healed. And we learn in Scripture that in many places that Jesus went, when he left, there wasn't a sick person in the city. I'm looking for that day in heaven. Now Jesus tells the disciples about the Beatitudes, the happiness and the blessed verses, I call them in the Bible. But he also warns those who seek this world's riches. And paramount, Jesus talks about loving our enemies. He talks about not judging or condemning others. He tells us that we are to forgive if we want to be forgiven. He tells us, don't try to lead others to Christ until our relationship with God is right. In other words, he's saying, look inward, then look outward. And then also in that, he goes on to tell them about the fruit of this, about a person is known by his fruit. And we find that in Galatians 5, the fifth chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse through the 25th verse. They tell us what this fruit of the Spirit is. Jesus, again, as he's talking to the multitude, he expounds upon the foundation that we must build upon, that solid rock, which he is. All other foundations are sinking sand and will not stand. Luke continues by telling of Jesus' healing the centurion's servant. Now, the centurion was a Roman soldier and considered by the Jews to be their worst enemy. But yet, Jesus speaks of this centurion as, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Jesus' compassion is shown to the widow of Nain by raising her only son from the dead. And Jesus sends a message to reassure John the Baptist that he is indeed the promised one. From chapter 6 to chapter 7, verse 35, Dr. Luke has shown us at least 10 life-changing events that Jesus did or spoke of. Now we are up to verse 36, a sinful woman forgiven. Let us read, I will read that for us in Luke the 7th chapter, the 36th through the 50th verses. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and to dry them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon says, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins are many, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Now those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin?" Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go and sin no more." Let us look at these briefly, these two individuals, and how they reacted to the presence of Jesus. Simon the Pharisee. Simon invited Jesus to eat with him. Now, Jesus accepted the invitation from the Pharisees, even though he knew that they did not like his present ministry. This was the religious population. I'm sure Simon probably invited some of his Pharisee friends and probably a few of the Sanhedrins whom they often disagreed with. I surmise that Simon was saying to himself, "You know, I don't know if this Jesus is the promised Messiah, but I'd better invite him just in case he is. I want to cover all my bases." Simon did not extend to Jesus the common courtesy given to an invited guest at one's home, the washing of his feet to remove the dust. Simon's actions seemed self-seeking and selfish. Now here comes this woman of a questionable character, and Jesus is allowing her to touch him. Simon's thinking, no, this can't be the promised Messiah. This can't be a prophet, for look at who he is letting touch him. Doesn't he know that this woman is a sinner? Simon did not realize that he too was a sinner in need of Jesus. He relied upon the fact that he was Abraham's seed and did not need to be forgiven of anything. Jesus admonished Simon's his thoughts and his non-actions. Jesus told him what he did not do. Now compare Simon the Pharisee to this sinful woman. This woman was considered to be a sinner by the city. She was probably a prostitute. This woman knew that Jesus sat at the Pharisee's house, yet she risked being humiliated to seek him out to worship and honor him. This lady must have heard of Jesus' compassion and willingness to forgive those who had fallen into sin. This sinful woman's acts were unselfish and done from her heart. She knew she needed Jesus. She washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. She kissed Jesus' feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil from her alabaster box. She gave him her very best. She gave Jesus the most precious gift that she had. Jesus acknowledged her worship and her praise, and he says to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go and sin no more." Here we have this comparison, and I ask you this question. Who are you in the text? Like Simon, the Pharisee, with all the right stuff according to the world, and even the religious community. Simon probably thought, "I'm okay. I go to the temple on Sabbath. I pay my tithes. I don't do bad things." Yet, he did not know that he too was a sinner who needed to be forgiven by Jesus. Are you like Simon? Do you come to church? Or do you come to worship the Lord at church? Do you pay your tithes, but grudgingly? Do you say, "Oh, I don't kill, I don't steal, you know, I don't lie"? Do you say, "Well, I know the state of the dead. I know the help message"? Are you like Simon? Are you relying upon these things for salvation? Well, yet you do not know or love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This lady, the word quoted, this sinful lady, she gave her all. Are you like her who gave her very best to Jesus? She was one who was unafraid to take the risk of humiliation, to be rebuked, just to see and to worship Jesus and to fall at his feet to be forgiven. Do we adore Jesus? Do we praise him? Do we thank him? Do we obey him? Do we worship him against all odds and unfortunate circumstances? We all need to be forgiven, no matter what our earthly status is, no matter what we possess or what we believe. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all stand in need to be forgiven. How do we get this forgiveness? 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as I close, I implore you to be joyous in your witnessing and in your worshiping. Be imitators, be emulators, be reflectors of Jesus. Lift Jesus up. Jesus said, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto me. We need to lift Jesus up because we too have been forgiven, not by what we do, not by what we own, not by what we know, or not by what we say, but by whom we know and what he has done for us. Forgiven. Jesus has forgiven you if you have confessed your sins to him. There is no doubt. I like that assurance of knowing that we are forgiven and we should give him the praise and glory. Let us pray. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have forgiven us. And that forgiveness, Lord, is extended to the greatest and to the least of us. That forgiveness, Lord, is no respecter of person. That forgiveness, Lord, is something that you give to us freely, and you ask us to accept it as the precious gift from the Father. Father, we ask that you would be with us, be with the cast as we go over, Lord, to continue this worship service through a skit that, yes, there is some jest in it, but I ask that each one would listen and look for the underlying message that is there. I thank you for being with us, for leading us, and for guiding us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.